Romans 8. My new boo-boo is about 100% better this morning, so thanks to Miss Carolyn.
What's your new boo-boo?
It's
gash. A gash in my leg.
His leg is self-inflicted wound.
Roundup on it?
It's on the other end from the nose wound.
No. Anti-killer.
Romans 8. We spent yesterday on what it means to be led by the Spirit. And in verse 15, you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. And the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. This, in the Greek text, the beareth witness, it's not the word like that we normally see for witness. This one, it's to bear joint testimony with, and it's sealed, it's confirmed, it's emphatic in the Greek text. So, again, the dividing line is whether you're led by your appetites or by the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God only leads in your abandonment of self, when you are no longer a debtor to the flesh. And that abandonment creates the key to everything in the mystery of God is repentance. Turning away from self, divorcing self, leaving self behind. Everything else depends on it. If you don't understand that and you think repentance simply means I'm sorry I did this and da-di-da-di-da, then you'll always live in carnality. No matter how many times you speak in tongues, how many times you raise your hands in praise, how many times you go to church, how many times you go to Bible study, you will always live in carnality. And you know it at the core because you're what goes on in your mind is the antithesis of what the Spirit of God is. And you know what goes on in your mind. And so if you don't go to war with that, if you don't cast down every high place, bring every thought into obedience to the captivity of Christ, then you're always going to be in carnality and you'll wonder why. And you go up and down and up and down and up and down like a cork on the ocean. Or like a leaf blowing in the wind. There's no ever any settling. Does everybody understand this?
This just gave me a new concept of what repentance is. Where you are in the world subject to all of its vagaries or whatever and time. And when you repent, you don't turn to another world that's different and cleaner, but you turn to timelessness, to eternity, to the moment. I never really saw that plane where
good.
That's where repentance takes you.
All right, let's go.
Excuse me, but in Bible study Tuesday night, which consisted of two people.
You and me.
You were talking to me about thinking that my acceptance and right to be is based on performance. And this speaks directly to that. This really hit me yesterday, this verse, which I've read 100 times, but you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. What that does is, for me, is that turns a light on and points right on what it is that takes place. And what it is that takes place is that it's bondage to fear. Anytime there's something like, okay, we're gonna have a work day Saturday, we're gonna move the stuff back to storage. The reaction in me is fear. Fear that I will not be able to do what I'm supposed to do, that I'll be embarrassed and all that. Fear that I will fail and be separate. And that's the crux of this behavior, which is based on trying to be acceptable and judging others to not be accepted. It all comes down to this spirit of fear.
You could buy a house, and that maybe make you acceptable.
I'm just kidding.
I mean,
I can see it a whole lifetime.
Well, I mean, it's
which
it's
I know
everything.
This means it's true for everybody. That's the spirit of fear that I can identify.
What keeps the world alive?
It hits me, sometimes twice a day, sometimes 100 times a day.
Well, it's the engine of commerce.
Ooh, you know what? It really is the lemon stuff, because it's the fear is based on God won't do anything. There isn't enough. I have to hide what's really going on. I might get caught if people find out. It's the lemon.
Well, it fundamentally is what drives the need for invention, for ambition, for everything. And it's self-redemption. In one sense, it's leaven. In another, it's everything except peace. So you've got to perform. You've got to do it right. You've got to meet the needs. You've got to just do this. You've got to do that. You've got this responsibility. You've got that responsibility.
And everybody's got a different kind of a fear. My fear was that people would find me on the workday.
So, again, this emphatic statement. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Let's go to Ephesians 1. This sort of summarizes everything. Ephesians 1, starting in verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. According as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption, or the placing by Jesus Christ, to himself according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption. And again, any time you do something to try to have your own acceptance, then you have denied this. I mean, it's and remember all these things when we studied the Lord's Prayer, when it says, "Hallowed be thy name." Anything you do that's not this is not hallowing his name, because you're special. You need more. You need something else other than the finished work of Christ. And it's really, it's like spitting in the face of God. So I'm going to try to be a good person. I'm going to try to be nice. I'm going to try to be accepted. I'm going to try to do this. I'm going to try to work hard. All of that. It's all gone. This is the finished work of Christ. And we stand in it. In him. To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded towards us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that is, in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. I mean, if you could grok, and if that can apprehend you, then your warfare is totally over. No other voices can have any effect on you. No other act or lack of act or anything else. What?
Well, I'm just marveling at the prepositional richness here. It's all in him, about him, toward him. And of course, there, what you just said is totally true, because you aren't even in the picture to be affected by it.
Okay, now listen to the prayer.
Wait, before you go on, I'm sorry. But it's like I never heard this before. I'm not being flip. This is a serious question. Does anybody believe what we just read?
I do.
I know you do. Does anybody else believe it?
It's not my business.
I'm not really asking you that. I'm just asking. It's like I never heard this before. This is too good to be true. I'm too big a piece of shit for this to apply to me. I can't believe that this is true, that this is talking about me. This is talking about nice people or good people. This isn't talking about me. Does anybody besides you believe this? I don't think I know anybody that believes this.
I think John believes it. I think Joanna believes it. Gary believes it sometimes. Pete believes it sometimes.
Yeah. The worse you are, the easier it is to believe. The contrast is so stark.
I kind of feel like I'm six in New Jersey, in the car, driving past the church, and the nice people are in the church singing and doing God stuff, and these are the people it's talking about, and I'm out there with the people that aren't like that.
Well, but again, you got to forget this idea of comparing. Comparing is meaningless. You can't compare. If you've seen, the only thing I've expected any of you to ever follow in me was faith, the faith. Certainly not anything else. And that's what, you know, this is everything to me. This is.
It's like I've never heard this before, and because I've never really heard it before, I've never really realized that I don't think it's talking about me.
Oh, yes.
And that goes back to this thing about fear of being found out and not belonging. And
okay. Well, now this is the prayer then that follows that. That declaration by Paul. Wherefore I also, verses 15, wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Now listen carefully to this prayer. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. He hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all and in all.
declare all things throughout the Spirit.
Now let's go to another prayer in Ephesians. Ephesians is fundamentally the book of prayer.
So is he just now saying, my prayer is that you will know that what I just said in this other part is true?
Sure. Now look at another prayer. Ephesians is analogous in the way of looking at things. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy is all getting there. Then Joshua is, they're there. Now, so Ephesians is equivalent to the Joshua. You understand? Except now the journey wasn't in time, I mean in space. The journey was only emptying. That this might be manifest. Now here's the other prayer. Go to chapter 3. Verse 14. For this cause, I bow my knee unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus, throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. It can't get any better than this. And it's already finished. It's always been there. But it depends on your losing self-interest. That's the only thing. And you know that each one of you know with a certainty that self-interest and self-protection and all those other tricks of the trade never worked. How's it worked for you thus far? If it had ever worked, you wouldn't be here. Now let's go to 2 Corinthians. Chapter 5. Chapter 4 was all about, you know, we're troubled on every side, persecuted but not forsaken, etc. And then verse 18 of chapter 4. We look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house made, not made, excuse me, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed with our house, which is from heaven. And if so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that hath wrought for us the selfsame thing is God, who hath given us unto us the earnest of the Spirit. And the earnest means the down payment or the first evidence. It's so big that our minds can't comprehend it. And so our minds, in order to have a feeling of being connected always return to the familiar, i.e., the traditions of men. Now, I ask you again, no matter how often you have justified yourself, have you ever been able to justify yourself? You can't. And so you just blindly and secretly follow all these little voices in your head and you pay attention to them and you're neglecting this incredible inheritance that's beyond anything that you could ask or think. That's why it says if you have the faith of a grain of mustard seed, you could say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea. And it has nothing to do with the size of the mustard seed. It's the fact that the mustard seed knows it's a mustard seed. And it just rests in that. Our whole way of thinking and looking and seeing and sensing is based on a lifetime of paths of neurons in our brain. And they're all dependent on it's, remember we've talked so often, what you hear is what you see. What you see is what you do. I mean, you know, it's hearing is always the first thing. And so now there's a new thing, and it's always been in us. And this new thing is, you know, it's where Jacob wrestled with the angel. And the place was called Peniel. And that's the pineal gland in your body, in your mind. It's a cone-shaped thing in the center of your being. And it's in all animals. It's the seat of instinct. And instinct is a mysterious thing that no one can understand and no one ever will understand. But that same instinct, guidance, is inside your mind. But you have to sort of erase all these other neural paths that you've become so familiar with. And the only way you erase them is you say, my God, they have never done me any good. And then this whole new universe, the universe of eternity, opens up. And you're not subject. You don't fear what they fear. You don't want what they want. You don't, nothing. And all of you have tasted this. If you hadn't tasted it a little bit, you wouldn't be here. Now let it be manifest 100%. That's probably enough for this morning.
That prayer about that the eyes of your understanding be enlightened or opened or whatever it is really kind of resonating with me, because hearing all these other scriptures about that seeing you don't see and hearing you don't hear, the scale, I was blind but now I see, and the scale falling off your eyes. It's like this thing we read this morning, it's like I've read that 1,000 times probably, but and I always thought I heard it, but I didn't hear it. It's the first time I've ever heard it, which proves to me that the things that I think I see and the things that I think I hear and I think I understand are what's in the way.
Amen.
It's not a possession. It's a prison.
On a talk show that we were going to do, which you didn't do, but Harry had the idea of making the, whatever you call it, promo for it. Consider the possibility that everything you have ever learned is wrong. And that's what this Bible says.
It says, he prays that you would have, that would know things that are beyond knowledge.
Amen. Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense anyway.
Things that are dark with that which appears.
Knowledge.
And all it takes is integrity, that you could see that nothing you've ever done had any value.
I tell you this, I can see that Tuesday night when you were talking to me about this, that I was filled with fear because I was hearing it as another thing to do that I couldn't do.
I remember once, Gary got, one of the many times that Gary got very mad at me.
No.
He said, well, didn't my, the years at Christ for the Nations do any good? And I said, yeah, about the same amount of good as the cocaine you smoked. There is absolutely no reference to the past. From this moment, forget everything and live in that moment of dependence on God. Don't be like these idiots that have a form of godliness but deny his ability. Don't start performing again, ever. Well, but I've got to take care of this, and I've got to do that, and I've got to do that. Well, if you want to do that, you better get really ready, because you've got to go. If you want to satisfy this father of ours, you've got to go to Israel. You've got to defeat the Arabs. You've got to rebuild the temple. You've got to find the ashes of the red heifer. You've got to find all the sacrificial animals. You've got to find secreted somewhere the exact work of the priest. You've got to find all those little exact... It's impossible. It's either all done or you've got more to do than you've ever dreamed of. And so stop living in this middle ground, in the illusion. Anybody else? Kevin? What does that mean when you do?
Translate.
Facial language.
He's pulling a Stuart.
Singing this story I heard Wade tell.
What was it?
It's about Martin Luther.
Oh, that's...
All right. John? All right, take a big guy.
Several more days before Halloween.
Yeah, what are we doing for Halloween?
Who's making
dressing for Halloween?
We're not going to store.